Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Psalm 103:1, it says, "Give praise to the Lord, O my soul, let everything in me give praise to his holy name." David shouted out, "Praise the Lord. Don't forget what he has done." Look at the person next to you and say, "Don't you dare forget where God brought you from." David said he's forgiven all of your sins. There are millions of people in hell right now, but you're right here in church, enjoying air conditioning. The Bible says he heals all your diseases. Do you know that there's more than 26,000 diseases? But God has promised to heal you of them all. Don't forget that. He keeps back your life from destruction. Every time the devil tries to kill you, God rescues you. He rescues you from the accidents, from the plane crashes, from the weather events, from the tornadoes, from the floods, from the shootings. You just read about them. You just watch the television. What stopped you from being there? He rescued you. We talked about a lot of things like this, and we're transitioning from his empowering our praise to empowering divine purpose and our spiritual success through the Holy Spirit today. Every child of God needs a tangible relationship with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The fellowship means to associate with him, to become a partner with him, to become good friends. Many people still question, what is the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity? Let me give you just a few things Jesus said. The Bible says he teaches us, he guides us, he shows us our future. He shows us how to fulfill our purpose and our destiny. He empowers us for service. I heard about the Holy Spirit when I was a young teenager in my church. I studied about him when I was in Bible college, but I never knew him tangibly, a personal relationship. I didn't really understand any of that. And then I began attending a church where the pastor, he knew the Holy Spirit. He was using the gifts of the Spirit. And he said during one service, "You can personally know the Holy Spirit." I said, "Really? I can know the Holy Spirit?" Well, then I began seeking the Holy Spirit. I would take time in the evening. And I'd go in my study and I would stay in there for about an hour. So I just sit there and say, "Holy Spirit, I'm here. Hello. Hi." I'd read the Bible and I'd pray and nothing. That went on for about 6 weeks. I was so discouraged that I said, "Well, whether you show up or not, Holy Spirit, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. I'm going to come here because the pastor said, I can know you personally." And in time, he started revealing himself to me. It changed my life. And it will change yours too. I'm going to say to you what he said, and it's true. You can know the Holy Spirit personally. And that's what God wants for every believer. That's what it means. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus said in John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." The Holy Spirit will receive information from the Father and from Jesus and reveal it to us. In John 15:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." And then when you get to verse 26, Jesus said, I'm sending you another friend, one from the Father. His name is the Holy Spirit. It says, when the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth, he will confirm everything about me. Another translation for friend is another, an advocate. The Bible calls him a comforter, a consoler, one who strengthens you, one who calms your fears, one who provides hope when it looks like there's no hope. Folks, the Holy Spirit is essential to our success as Christians. And as we grow closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, God is preparing his children through the Holy Spirit to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. You need to understand something, folks. There will be no sin in heaven. My question is, then why are you sinning? Ushers, lock the doors. In Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Oh my, is he talking about the church? Yes. Oh yes. Holiness is God's absolute moral purity. God cannot sin nor tolerate sin. Ezekiel 18 and 20 says, the soul who sins shall die. Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. In fact, God judges sinful behavior in the Old Testament sometimes immediately and dramatically. Folks, he's the same God. Let me give you one example. Leviticus 10 and 1, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they took censers, put fire in them, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. The fire of God came down and burnt them alive because they sinned. And Moses then said to Aaron, their father, this is what the Lord spoke to me. He told me to tell you, among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I must be honored. That's what God said. He also said, I'm not reading it, but he also said, he said, if you cry in front of the congregation, I'll judge you. The other people can cry for your sons, he said, but you can't because it'll look like I did something wrong. See, among all who approach me, God says, I am holy. I am holy. He is the same God. Hello? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. See, we have to be careful with how we should behave, even as Christians. These two boys, they were priests, and yet they were judged. The Bible tells about Korah. Korah, he was one of the leaders of Israel, but he wasn't satisfied with his position. He wanted to be above Moses. Well, God appointed Moses. How can you tell God, you made a mistake? I want his position. It doesn't go well over with God. Numbers 16 and 31, it says that God judged him instantly. The ground split apart upon them, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their houses, those that were with Korah, all of the men with Korah and all of their goods. So they went down into the ground alive. And then the earth closed over them and they perished before the assembly. And the rest of the people went crazy. They fled crying for their life. Look, I'm going to say it again. God is still the same God. Where's the fear of the Lord? We've lost reverence and fear for God. God is testing his church. Will we ignore sin and disobedience? Folks, we'll bring judgment upon ourselves. Look, God wants us to display the truth of his word. We are God's representatives. How dare us show the world that we are more worldly than the world? I'm talking about holiness. See, we must never compromise God's word or his character. We must never do that. Don't you ever tell a person you're a Christian if you compromise God's word and his character. Because you're not. Or you need some serious help, some repentance.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In 1 Peter 4 and 15, I'm going to have to finish this next time. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. He's talking to Christians. As a thief, as an evildoer, immorally pure, or as a busybody in other people's matters.
What you say, Peter?
Mind your own business. He puts a busybody along with a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer. You need to leave people's business alone. Listen, for the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. That is a sermon in itself. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We're living in a time where we must pray. We have to do background checks before attending a conference or joining a church. We want to make sure we're following God wherever we are. Let the church say amen. Look, God never fails. God never changes. God said, among those who approach me, I show myself in my holiness. And we represent him. We have to show forth his holiness through our lives, folks. Listen to what it says in 1 John 4 and 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit that they have really comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Don't just accept what people say, regardless of their platform. Look, you must be led by the Holy Spirit in God's word. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he preached in Berea, the Berean Christians checked the scriptures to see if what the Apostle Paul taught was true. That's why we need to keep our Bibles. I know we have them in phones now and everything. But don't just accept what comes over the pulpit. What does the Word of God say? We give too much credibility with people with titles. We lift them up. They're just people like us. What does the Word of God say? In Acts 17:11, it says, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They listened eagerly to Paul's message, but they searched the scripture day after day to see if Paul and Silas were really teaching the truth. That's what we need in the church. You need the discernment of the Holy Spirit and God's word to know if what you're hearing is really in the Bible. We're living in the end times, and God wants us to live holy lives. We have to be ready for Christ's return. Most Christians don't even recognize the subtle influence of the world, turning their hearts cold toward the things of God. But God prophesied about this. Jesus did. He said in Matthew 24:12, because of the increase of wickedness in the world, the love of most will grow cold. Only he who stands to the end will be saved. Some people refer to the church as casual Christianity. I'm going to read a little article to you now, and we'll close with this, and we'll pick it up next time. In a wide-ranging discussion about the state of faith in America, a veteran researcher recently addressed questions raised by his new book, The Seven Faith Tribes. He outlined seven diverse faith segments, profiling their lifestyle, religious beliefs, and values, and life goals. The casual Christian tribe is especially significant because it represents a huge majority of the nation's population, 2 out of every 3 adults. His study indicated that casual Christians represent 66% of the adult population in the United States. Casual Christianity is faith in moderation. It allows them to feel religious without having to prioritize their faith. A casual Christian can be all the things that they esteem, a nice human being, a family person, religious, and never have to publicly defend or represent difficult moral or social positions. It is not a faith into which they feel compelled to heavily invest themselves. Casual Christians are defined by the desire to please God, family, and other people by obtaining as much enjoyment and comfort from the world as possible. Folks, we have to protect our hearts from feel-good, convenience-led, materialistic Christianity. Oh, yeah. It doesn't match God's word. It doesn't match, even if it sounds good, if it doesn't match God's word, it's not right. It's not right. Lukewarm Christianity is rejected by God. You cannot live a lukewarm life and think you're going to heaven. Did anybody tell you that? Put another lock on those doors. In Revelation 3:15, I know all the things you do, Jesus said, that you are neither hot nor cold. Many people say, well, you know, I'm not a heretic. I don't get all that excited. I'm just right in the middle. Jesus said, I wish that you were one or the other. You're neither hot nor cold. But since you are right in the middle, since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, listen, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing, and you don't realize that you're wretched, you're miserable and poor, you are blind and spiritually naked. Those are the words of the Lord. True Christianity is putting God first. Putting God first in your family, putting God first on your job, putting God first in your community, putting God first in your life. Luke chapter 14 and 26, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your husband, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life, or you cannot be my disciple. I don't think people are really paying attention to what the Bible says. There was a poll just a few years ago taken about Christians. What is your most significant relationship in life? Most Christians said, my family. And some said, God. Some said, God. Most said, my family. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sins that so easily trip us up. Saints, Jesus is coming. It's time to deal with your sins. There will be no sinners in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. Revelation 21 and 27, it says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter into heaven. People profess to be born again because they say, I believe in Jesus. However, God's word makes it clear. You cannot habitually sin and be a child of God. I got a couple of more minutes. Let me just read these verses and we'll pick it up next week. 1 John 5 and 18, it says, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. Those of you who are in immoral relationships, you say you're Christians and you're sleeping with people. You're living with people. We're going to get married. We love each other. Well, guess what? Why don't you do it? Why don't you both repent, separate, and get your lives right with God and get married and then come back together again the way the scripture says you should live. And 1 John 3 and 7, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning and sinning and sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Well, I know some people don't like to hear this, but it's the word. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Why? Because God's life is in them. I just read to you that God is holy. How dare you say God's life is in me and you keep on sinning and sinning? No, you're a child of the devil. I just read it. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them, so that they can't keep sinning because they're children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. 1 John 3 and 19 says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. Today's message has been part 6 of Are You Under the Influence? Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I want to encourage you that God has a plan for your life. Regardless of how things may be going right now, the difficulties and the circumstances and situations you may find yourself in, I want to encourage you to know
that God will help you. He will deliver you. He will make a way. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for these faithful listeners. And I'm asking you right now in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would move on their behalf. Whatever the situation is, change it. Whatever the need is, meet the need. Bless them, my Father, I pray. Draw us closer to you, even as we continue to pray and to seek you for your direction in our lives. Bless us today, in Jesus' name. I believe that God has great things in store for your life. So keep on praying and believing, and keep listening to A Place to Grow. God bless you today.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.